Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Golden Voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Man, the week is trucking right along. Thursday, December the 7th, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour, 34 degrees and cloudy skies, about 3 degrees warmer than it was yesterday morning. And we're off and running here on this Thursday. 18 shopping days. Well, what would it be? 17 shopping days left until Christmas, 18 days until Christmas. Hopefully everybody's getting ready for the big holiday coming up very soon. Do want to remind everybody, do our little housekeeping here this morning. Christmas in Caledonia, Christmas in the Village will be this coming Saturday at 6:15 p.m. I'll be there reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas" and lighting the Christmas tree. Matt and Carrington will be there singing for the group. It's going to be a great time over in Caledonia this coming Saturday at 6:15 p.m. And as I said before, I feel like this is a coming home thing. I still have not been, you know, everybody's dead, I think, is the problem here. Because I still have not been able to figure out if my father was born in Caledonia or not. I might have to go to some kind of birth certificate to figure this out. But I know he definitely lived there as a child, and I know he lived there. Well, he didn't really live there as an adult, because once he got married, he left. And I don't think he ever went back over there. But, so I feel like I'm an honorary citizen of Caledonia because of that. And as I've said before, I've known some interesting people who lived in Caledonia over the years. Not good, not bad, just interesting people. So you never know who will pop up on Saturday. So looking forward to the big Christmas in the Village event. I know Matt and Carrington are as well. So we will be there at 6:15 on Saturday, lighting the big Christmas tree, getting Caledonia's Christmas underway. And, of course, we have the big fruitcake toss 1 week from today. Boy, it comes up quick, doesn't it? 1 week from today, the big fruitcake toss taking place at 685 Delaware Avenue. The new radio station location here in Marion. At this point, I believe we have 46 people in. Let's run down the list here real quick. We have Ted Adam, County Commissioner Dr. Davis, County Commissioner Kerr Murray, County Commissioner Andy Appafeller, Sarah, Chip, Mr. Neal, Carrington, Matt, myself, Judy Summers, Glenn Coble, Lee, Glenn Jerome, Tyler Wilson, City Councilman Ayers Ratliff, Tracy Lee, Pastor Whitaker, Bill Collins, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mayor Kellogg, Fruitcake Lily, Pastor Craig, Ted Williams, Sheila Evans, Linda Sims, Ed Pickett, who, by the way, I ran into yesterday, last year's champion, 61 feet, Caleb Rice, Bob Welsh, Mrs. Welsh, George Kasotis, Joanne Kasotis, Sheriff Bales, a representative from the fire department, Judge Edwards, Carrie Grigsby, Caitlin from the Kroger Pharmacy, Lois Fisher, Nick Fisher, Miranda McGinnis, James Anderson, Abby, Mike McGinnis, Becky Morgan, who will be making the Buckeyes, Fred Malone, Sean, and Lieutenant Brown from the Marion Police Department. So it's quite a list for the fruitcake toss, and it's going to be a big night. The winner will receive a plaque and also four passes to the Columbus Zoo Lights in Columbus, Ohio. We will have Buckeyes there that night, free Buckeyes for everybody, otherwise known as chestnuts on that night because of the Christmas season. And we will also be presenting Mayor Jack Kellogg with his Upper Crust Society Award. And last night, Bob sent me a copy, or a picture, I should say, of that plaque for Mayor Kellogg, and it is a great plaque. So we're going to have a lot of fun coming up a week from tonight, December the 14th. And from what I can tell, we're going to have singing that night as well. So again, I feel I am up for the Nobel Peace Prize this year because of bringing everybody together for the fruitcake toss, Republican, Democrat, politician, non-politician, friend, foe, fat, skinny, tall, short, all get together, sing, and have a good time on Fruitcake Night 1 week from today, December the 14th. What an event it's going to be. Now, there was one more thing I wanted to say in regard to the fruitcake toss. Well, we still have time to enter, people. The entrant window will be open through next Tuesday, so if you want to enter anybody, or if you have any updates on any of our entrants, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do we have any new entrants into the fruitcake toss as of this morning? Our last new entrant was Lieutenant Brown. And the hot chocolate. Oh, that's what I was going to bring up. At one point, and apparently yesterday, I did something on the air that I've never done before. I'm not sure what I did, but I did it. You know, I volunteered somebody to prepare the hot chocolate the night of the fruitcake toss. Now, apparently I did this without getting their okay. So, you know, that's on me. That's my fault. I'll take responsibility for that. So, I don't know if there'll be hot chocolate or not. If there's not hot chocolate, I think we'll get by okay. But you never know. There might be hot chocolate. There's still a week to go. It's not confirmed that there will not be hot chocolate. Let's put it that way. So, don't know about hot chocolate, but I certainly do know about the Buckeyes, a.k.a. the Chestnuts, on Fruitcake Night. And again, if you don't know anything about the Fruitcake Toss, what will happen that night is all contestants will walk up to a line, they will get an actual Claxton fruitcake, and they will get one underhanded toss. The person who throws the fruitcake the farthest will be the fruitcake champion. And we all look forward to that for sure. Going to be a big night here in Marion. You know, I still don't know. I need some kind of fruitcake sweatshirt, or definitely a sweatshirt for the time of year it is. I'm going to have to do something about that as time goes on. I did get a little cartoon this morning from one of our listeners out there, Mary. Now, it's a picture of a, I guess it would be, I'm not sure if this is a psychic or a fortune teller, probably more of a fortune teller. The cartoon is a fortune teller sitting at a table with a crystal ball, and it looks like a cherry on the opposite side sitting on the stool across from the fortune teller. And then in the bottom half of the picture, there's a fruitcake. And words coming out of the fortune teller's mouth, the little word bubble up here, says, "I see you becoming tough, strong, and indestructible." That's a fruitcake. Tough, strong, and indestructible. No doubt about it. Thanks, Mary, for that cartoon. And that is true about a fruitcake. People often say, well, how many fruitcakes do you use when you toss the Claxton fruitcakes? We use one. They don't break. And again, the record for the fruitcake toss, 72 feet. How about that? 72 feet. Will the record be broken this year? I don't know. Will we break last year's record of 61 feet? Will a woman fare well in the fruitcake toss? I don't know. We've got more women entered this year than ever before. So the fruitcake toss is off and running. And if you have any comments or questions or updates or somebody you'd like to enter, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Are we going to get to 50 people in the fruitcake toss? All right. Next bit of business here, Christmas cards. If you'd like to send us a Christmas card here at the station, you can do so. New address this year, 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A. Make it out to WGH Talk. And if you put your return address in the card and put a little message in there, we will send you back a card. We will read your card on the air and hang your card up in the WGH Talk studios. And by the way, we did get our first card this year yesterday. And as I do every year, I don't look at these before we go on the air. So I'm going to open up the envelope here on the air and just read it right now. So let's get into the envelope here. Can you hear me ripping the envelope open here this morning? All right, let's see what we got here. Let's get this card out of the envelope. Nice blue envelope. Well, this is very, very nice. On the front, it's a blue card. It says, Happy Holidays. And there's a little dog on the front, a white dog. I'm not sure what kind of dog this is, but the dog has a red and green Christmas bow tied around his neck. And he's on a little Argyle red and green box. That's a nice way to start it off here. Wishing you a merry and bright holiday, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Love and blessings, Trish. Well, thank you, Trish, for this card. I certainly do appreciate that. And also sent in this card, it looks to be a crocheted ornament. Now, this is very nice. It's a red crocheted stocking. So, Trish, thank you for that. I will put that on the WGH Christmas tree when I am in the studio tomorrow. So our first card comes from Trish, and I believe there is a return address here on the envelope, so we will be able to get a card back out to Trish this holiday season. Yes, there is. So we will get her a card. Thanks, Trish. First Christmas card out this season. All right. Okay, what else is on the agenda here this morning? And remember, send us a card if you want. 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Okay. This morning, on the front page of the Marion Star, they're advertising their big Dancing with the Stars event that goes on at the Women's Club. I believe that happens in February or March every year. And guess who one of the stars is this year in our Dancing with the Stars competition here in Marion? Linda Sims, our very own Linda Sims here from WGH Talk. I found out about that a couple weeks ago, and I'm so glad the announcement has been made now. So Linda Sims, congratulations. She'll be part of the Dancing with the Stars event coming up this winter at the Women's Club home. Now, it's great for Linda. Now, I have never been asked to participate in this event, but that's okay because there are two things here. Number one, I'm not a star, so I understand that fully. And number two, I would not do it if I was asked to do it because I cannot dance. There would be... I wouldn't even attempt it. And I understand that these people are not dancers either. They get these lessons leading up to the event. But to even attempt to try to dance, it wouldn't happen. I just wouldn't even consider it because I feel it would be a disaster. You know, this is one of those things in life where you have to know your own limitations. And I'm telling you, this would not go well. And I've never been asked to do it. So they probably understand that I would be terrible at this, and I would not do it. I don't like to turn down events that are for good causes. But I could not do this. That is one of the last things in the world that I would ever want to do. I'm glad they do it. I'm glad they raised a lot of money. I'm glad our own Linda Sims is involved in it. But I would never participate in this event. It's just one of those things. You know, there are certain things that are in your wheelhouse, and there are certain things that are not in your wheelhouse, and dancing is not in my wheelhouse. You know, years ago, Martha Dowse wanted to teach me how to dance because her philosophy was, if you have 2 feet, you can dance. And I think I might have ended up proving Martha wrong because it was so bad, so horrible. There are just things I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't play an instrument. I really don't know what I can do. I don't think I have any discernible talent at all, to be honest with you. So I would never do it, but I'm so glad Linda is doing it. Representation here of this station and all the other people who are participating in this dancing event at the Women's Club Home. So hopefully it'll be a big success. I think it has been in the past, and that's great. But good to see Linda participating in this event. Okay, what else is on the agenda here this morning? Oh, you know, I always believe in saying good things about people. I don't like to concentrate on the bad. And yesterday, I was with one of the teachers at the school that I teach at. And it was one of the teachers I'm not normally around. But yesterday, I was around this person for about 2 hours. And let me tell you, this is a young, dedicated teacher. This person knew Spanish. She was helping one of her students who speaks Spanish. She spoke it fluently, took time, spoke the language of the students. I was so impressed with this person. Really, one great teacher and a young teacher. And I think a lot of times we think that all the teachers who are good are of an older generation. Well, let me tell you, the young teachers are doing very, very, very well. And I got to see that firsthand yesterday. I was so impressed. I don't want to say her name on the air because, you know, I don't like to do that unless I know people don't care. But what a cool teacher she was, and what a great thing it was to see her helping her students. So, she's the star of the day on this particular day. Okay. What else do we have going on here? What else did I want to bring up? Well, the big pay raise vote is coming up Monday, December the 11th, at City Hall. This is where we're going to vote to raise the pay of the mayor, the auditor, and I believe the law director. Now, the big thing here is the pay for mayor. Up to $110,000 a year from where it is now at $69,000. I don't know how this is going to go. It's being voted on by a city council that still has, at this point, what do they have, three Democrats left on city council at this point? I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? Do you think the mayor, the auditor, and the law director should get a raise going into January? Now, speaking with Bill Collins, I don't think there's any doubt that he feels there should be a raise. He never comes right out and says that, but every time I've asked him about it, he says, well, look at what the surrounding cities pay their mayors. And I guess that's read between the lines on that. I guess he feels the Marion mayor should make that. But I really don't know what the finances are like here in Marion with having no bond rating. I think the other cities around us probably have bond ratings. I don't think the cities around us are having such issues with the auditor. I don't think they're calling for their auditors to resign. I don't think that's happening. I don't think that the cities around us are getting fines from the IRS and things of that nature. So I really don't know. I don't know how people feel about this, to be honest with you. And I also don't know that the cities around us have new city councils coming in. Five new members of city council come January the 1st. I don't know. Do you think the mayor and the law director and the auditor should get a raise come Monday? The vote will happen on Monday. Then it all falls to Mayor Schertzer. Is he going to veto it? It would be one of his last acts in office. It's going to be very interesting on Monday night. That would be a city council meeting I think you might want to attend. Does anybody have any thoughts on the pay raises for the mayor, the auditor, and the law director? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Should they get those raises? Because that vote is coming up very fast on Monday here in Marion. And as far as I know, we will be there to cover that event on Monday, unless something terrible would happen between now and then. Okay, what else is on the agenda here today? Oh, it's an interesting day here in Ohio. This is 30 days since the election. So, by all accounts, my understanding is that recreational marijuana and abortion are now legal in Ohio. Because what we learned on election night was that 30 days after the vote, those things would go into effect. I don't know that any blocks have been put up against them. Today would be 30 days after the election. The election was on November the 7th. So I think that recreational marijuana and abortion are legal today in Ohio. I haven't seen a whole lot of coverage on that. I don't know what even that means, to be honest with you, because I still don't really understand. I get the abortion part of it, but yeah, here we go. Ohio abortion amendment takes effect Thursday. So I guess it does. Now the marijuana issue, I don't know. Does that start today as well? And what does it mean? Are people just allowed to start doing it now? Well, yeah, that's what recreational marijuana, now legal in Ohio, as issue two takes effect. So there you go. And apparently, there's an Ohio Senate bill that would allow medical marijuana dispensaries to sell legal marijuana. So there you go. We're off and running. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, you got time to keep me in line on the agenda?
I do. I certainly do.
Well, one of the first that you haven't mentioned, and maybe you was going to do it later on in your program, today is Pearl Harbor Day.
Pearl Harbor Day, absolutely.
So that's a big event in a lot of us my age that was maybe about the size of a baby that could fit in a shoebox.
Yeah, it's been a few years ago now. December 7th, yeah.
Well, I was born November 8th of 41, so I'd be a month old there, and I certainly would have fit in a shoebox, no doubt. But I just wanted to get that apart. The next one on the agenda, you was talking about the folks that at the school was speaking Spanish.
Yes.
Now, do you speak Spanish fluidly?
Not fluently. I can get by, but it's been a few years since I took Spanish.
Well, that's good, because was it maybe I understood two females talking to each other?
The student was a male, but the teacher was a female.
Oh, okay. So you knew it well enough they wasn't making fun of you, right?
You know, they might have been. I didn't see anybody laughing, but, you know, it's hard to tell.
Oh, well, that would be the most common thing, and you knew every word they was speaking, and they wasn't speaking anything behind your back.
No, I could definitely tell that they were working on math. I got that much out of it.
Well, boy, that was nice that you three was together and doing that. And the next on the list was... give me a little help there as we go down the list so I don't leave nothing out. You got the list in front of you.
I do. We got Christmas in Caledonia, fruitcake toss, Christmas cards. What else? The teacher and the student relationship. Oh, the Dancing with the Stars, Linda Sims in that.
Yeah, I got that. And
we've got the plaque for Mayor Kellogg is ready. It looks very good for next Thursday. I'm glad to see that. And now we've got the pay raise Monday will be voted on for the mayor and the auditor and the law director.
Now, what do you want people to give you opinion what they think about?
Yeah, I'm interested to know, because it's going to happen, and I think there are two sides to this, because the council will vote one way, but the mayor, he'll have about, what will he have Monday? He'll have about 20 days left in office, and he does have the power to veto it if he should choose to do that.
Okay, let's hold right there for help me. Let's hold on that one. Let's go back to one that you didn't mention about Dancing with the Stars. That's one thing that you wouldn't do, even if you was asked and you didn't want to do, because you can't dance. Is that correct on the phrase you said?
Well, and they haven't asked me to do it, so I'm not on their radar. So it's kind of a moot point. But if I had ever been asked to do an event like that, I wouldn't do it, even though it's for a good cause, because, you know, I'll tell you a little story here, and I'll tell you why this is. Years ago, I was asked to be in Christmas in the Palace, and I at the Palace, and I think this is why I haven't been asked to do that since either. I was asked to be at Christmas at the Palace, and in the beginning, I said, sure, I'll do that. That's a good cause, big event here in Marion. I like that. I'll do it. And then they gave me the rehearsal schedule, and there was no way doing this show and city council and county commissioners and interviews and television show, no way I could have hit all those rehearsals. And I knew that right off the bat. So I went back to I believe it was Claire at that time, and I think she's still running it over there. I went back and I said, you know, I'm sorry. I'm so glad you asked, but there's no way that I'll be able to do this. And I didn't do it. And I think the same, because there are a lot of rehearsals involved in this thing as well. I wouldn't be able to do it. And also, dancing, you know, I am just not one of those. This is hard to believe. I'm not an exhibitionist in that getting up and dancing in front of people would be no thrill to me. Now, reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas in front of people, I can do that all day long. But dancing in front of people, you know, that's just not my thing. It's some people's thing, not my thing.
Well, one thing about it, I learned when I was very young to leave that word out, can't, because can't died in the poorhouse, you know?
That's true.
And you don't want to be in the poorhouse, so you, but anyhow, that's just a little jab I put in there. And did they have restrictions on what kind of dance you do? You could do maybe the Indian war dance or something like that, couldn't you?
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting. I have seen, because this has been going on, I think, 2 or 3 years now. And it seems to me like some of the people dancing like to do these, I don't want to call them provocative dances, because I don't think it's that. But it's fast-paced, you know, moving around, shaking things type of dances. And
moving swiftly and everything like that.
Yeah, and there's no way I would rather go stand in a garbage bin all day than do that. So that ain't going to happen. And
would it really get to the point that it would be worse than eating a fruitcake?
Oh boy, you know, it would be right there. It'd be pretty close to that. Now, I do think some people. Now, I could probably get away with like a ballroom dance, because that's simple enough. I could probably do that. But who really wants to see that?
Oh, you would like to get up close, and maybe would that be would a ballroom dance and dancing? When I hear of dancing, I always put it with a man and a woman. Is that correct? You?
Yeah, I believe that's how they pair it up. Yeah.
Well, then a ballroom, you kind of like that, because you could get in there with a nice woman, and you'd enjoy that, wouldn't you?
I certainly would.
Yeah, and maybe one of the ones that was going to make hot chocolate or something like that.
I don't know if she can dance. You know, I have seen her move around, and honestly, she's not all that graceful.
Oh, but you talk an awful lot about her, so I thought maybe you did have maybe maybe a little crush on her, but really don't want to find out, but you really like her. I have to get that straight, because I think I asked that question before, and it went off the wrong way, your answer, but maybe just give the straight answer on that lady, and I know that you're good friends with her,
yeah,
that you could get her to go to the ballroom dance with you.
Oh, I don't know about that. She's just a nice person who is fun to be around. You know, just a good friend.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like she's a good friend the way you talk.
Well, she's not making the hot chocolate, so really she might be falling down in esteem at this point.
I'll get back to the pay raise and stuff like that. And there's an old saying I always heard, if you don't ask, you can't receive. So if they ask for one, and it got to go through channels to get voted upon one, and that's the only ones that's voting to pass that, well, I don't see nothing wrong with asking. If and the council voting on it, if that's the way the procedure goes, like pay raise, everybody like to have a pay raise and stuff, and but do you really deserve it or this or that? And the mayor that's going in there, as far as the mayor goes, why, he's never been there, so does he deserve it or not? You don't know of that question, so the thing is, should the mayor, and they don't say who's the mayor yet, I think it was in discussing, you didn't know at the time, but we do know at the time, so does that, why does that have any bearing on the pay raise?
Well, I'll tell you, because the look of this is not good, because what's going on here, they're kicking the auditor pretty well every week, asking her to resign, and saying, listen, you're costing the city money. And I believe Mayor Schertzer, when he was on last time, said, we don't even have a budget for next year because we don't know how much money we're going to have because these fines keep coming in from the IRS and other places. So to vote the mayor, and it's not just a $5,000 pay raise you might get away with, but we're talking about what are we talking, $79,000, $89,000, $99,000, over a $40,000 pay raise. And I think that's a lot of dough. That's part of it. And number two, our budget's not. And I believe the mayor said last time he was on, the treasurer and the auditor's books don't even balance at this point. So how can you make an esteemed judgment to say, oh, yeah, let's give raises to these people? And one of the people you're giving a raise to is the person you're saying is incompetent and should resign. That doesn't look very good, the auditor. And another problem is that this was set to happen 4 years from now. And then all of a sudden, a month before the election, they said, well, let's move that up 4 years. Let's just do that in January. Because the original reason was let's try to get better candidates. But all of a sudden, they moved it up 4 years. And I think it just all looks bad in people's eyes.
Yes, and correct. But the public don't pay, as far as the public goes, why, if there's a discrepancy about not doing a job and don't deserve a pay raise on the auditor, I can see that. But the mayor hasn't even performed yet, so why could you discriminate against him and not give him or her or whoever it may have been at the time that this was being discussed about do they have to vote and agree on all the people get that in that category, or can they... Since this situation come up and not doing the job, and then others, they don't know if they do the job, they aren't really on the job, and there's the discrepancy. I can't figure out how you vote on stuff when nobody really knows for sure, are they or aren't they capable of doing the job?
Well, that's an interesting...
If you get a pay raise, you are capable of doing the job.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because the way this bill has... Because you have to have three readings of a bill unless you suspend the rules, and I believe they've had the first two readings, and the first two readings do include the auditor and the law director. So that's what they're voting on, the whole package, the mayor, auditor, and law director. Now, if the mayor vetoed it, he would be able to go in and kind of mess with the numbers and change them. Now, I don't know how a man, Mayor Schertzer, now again, I'm not in his mind, who has already asked the auditor to resign, could not veto a raise for her. I really don't know how he could not do that. On the flip side, has nothing to do with Bill Collins, because Bill Collins hasn't done the job yet. I think the issue is just that. He hasn't done the job, so why are we giving somebody a raise who we don't know how well they will do the job? And number two, I think the thing also is Marion's books are not in good shape, and the council people are saying this, and the mayor is saying this. And what's peculiar about it is you've got council members who are saying that the auditor needs to go and willing to sign off on it, Republican and Democrat, to send it to probate. Yet, will they vote for the pay raise? I don't know.
Well, would there be such a thing as the mayor's four-year term, right?
Yes, mayor four-year term, yeah.
So, the mayor showed sufficient evidence in his job capacity, then when would he be eligible for a raise? in the four-year period. There's another thing. They could vote on that, and they could say, and they could do this, but they just don't seem like they do it as a team and working towards a team, and it's affecting the people of Marion.
Well, don't most people feel, because they could bring this back up any time. They could bring it back up next year and vote for it for January of 2025. Don't you think it would make more sense at this point to wait for the new council to come in, which is going to have five new members, for the new mayor to come in and see what happens, and then maybe put this back on the table if they feel it's necessary?
That could be. I don't know who the Democrat or Republican party is, the new ones coming in to be voting on that. How would that utilize in the count of for or against?
Well, I my guess it would be for, because there's only one Democrat left on the new council coming in, Ayers Ratliff. Right now, you've still got three Democrats on council, but after the first of the year, you're only going to have one.
But
that's a whole problem with this as well, because if that vote on Monday, that's why that vote's going to be very interesting. If that is party lines, if the three Democrats vote no, and the six Republicans vote yes, well, that looks a little shaky. And I'm not saying that means it's shaky, but it looks a little shaky.
Now, there's the that little word if.
Yes.
That's a tricky word, you know.
And that's why we have to wait till Monday on that.
Yeah, and I heard on the marijuana part, it passed, but it is not, there is nowhere, no place, as we're speaking right now, in the Ohio, state of Ohio, that you can legally buy marijuana. Did you hear that and catch that in the report there last
night?
Yeah,
I guess the story is that the Senate is, I guess they've approved some changes to the marijuana bill, but it's, this is important, so let me go through a couple of these here. The announcement came right before Issue 2 came into effect, but let's see. This is fascinating, because nothing like this has ever happened before. It's kind of an abortion, I guess, is legal now in the state of Ohio. That has gone.
Well, we got to go clear back to during the bust on alcohol and the stills and stuff around, you know, that took place a long time ago. That's about as good, about the same era, or about the same thing that we're talking about. This is a new thing coming into a different era, you know, but back in during the probation on alcohol, you know.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, apparently homegrown is back in this bill. It would limit six plants per home, as opposed to the original 12, so that's part of the bill. And the bill would also keep the same possession limits from 2 to 2.5 ounces of plants, as opposed to 15 grams. And I think it's also, they want an immediate start to medical dispensaries selling the marijuana starting today. So, you know, I don't see where this bill has passed, though. That's what is confusing.
Yeah. So it's that's all a mumble jumble thing going on. And you and I didn't know about the amount that you could raise. Now, you have to be a certain age to raise the marijuana.
You know, I don't think it says anything in regard to that. You know what? They voted last night, so let me see here what the vote came out to be. The Ohio's voter-approved marijuana legalization initiative took effect on Thursday, and despite ongoing wrangling by state lawmakers to modify significant portions of the law, some provisions, including legal use, possession, and home cultivation, have immediate impact. So apparently they didn't get done what they wanted to get done. As of Wednesday, the GOP-controlled Senate abruptly reversed course, and the full chamber instead approved, they did approve the bill last night, excuse me, that would expand it. It would allow adult, here we go, here's your answer to your question, 21 and older to buy cannabis from existing medical dispensaries in as soon as 90 days, maintain home cultivation rights, and provide for automatic expungements of prior convictions.
Yeah, well, okay, I can understand that. Now, But today's world, a lot of young people that lives with their mother and father, and they're 21 and over and still living in the residence, that would mean if they had four, well, four of you could have six slants apiece, right?
I guess. Well, no, yeah, I think it's, so, well, I don't know. It's per home, I think. I think it's per home.
Per home. But we have got people living in one home at about maybe 10 people living in a home around in the country anymore. You know how that's working out? Not what I'm getting at, that they can double up and stuff in a home. So a home is, who owns the home? Well, none of those living there own it. They're just renting. So I don't know if that goes to rent. I was just asking some so-called questions.
Oh, well, I have an answer for you here. Growing marijuana at home in Ohio is currently legal. The votes from last night allow adults 21 and older to grow up to six plants, with 12 plants maximum per household.
Oh, okay, per household. Yeah, I was going to say, boy, there's going to be some activity around here. We thought thievery was bad, but boy, some people there are looking over the fence and saying, hey, that stuff smells like it's about ready, or whatever, however you determine that on marijuana. But there'll be a lot of thievery going on among the growers and the users, won't they?
Well, there were, and apparently right now, because nobody's selling it, because I think it's going to take 90 days for the medical dispensaries to start selling it, I guess you have to home grow it. That's the only legal way to obtain it right now.
Yeah, okay.
What a day it is in Ohio.
Yeah, it is an interesting day. And did we get through all that agenda down there? We got the voting on the pay raise and stuff. What else we got there so I can trip in on just what you was going to have in your show today? I don't want to hold up the rest of it. I have quite a bit today, but I think other people may be wanting to know the same thing I did.
I think that's
whether
pretty much it.
Or whether you're voted on it and everything, the state of Ohio voted on it, and it seemed like there was the two issues, and the impact on two issues, did you vote or didn't you vote on it, and it didn't make any difference because you voted on one and you voted on the other one, but after you voted on it and the outcome, there's all kinds of stipulations on both of them votes. Well, I think that's a crazy thing that went place in voting in the free country of the United States, you know, the right to vote, but then they overpower it just moments after it's approved of, you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's true. Our governor came out not too long after and wanted to tweak it, and apparently last night the Ohio Senate did some tweaking.
Okay. All righty, Scott. Listen to you. Keep her up.
Hey.
And keep going.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, we're coming up on the break here in about 30 seconds, but we'll talk more about this. I was out late last night, so I did not get a chance to read all this information on this marijuana legalization here, recreational marijuana legalization, but apparently that's the day today here in Ohio. I think I've got it all right as I skimmed through the bill there. Hopefully I did. But I'm sure somebody will tell me if I'm wrong on the opposite side of this break. So the conversation coming up, big day here in Ohio, the legalization of recreational marijuana and the legalization of abortion. We are back in 10 minutes. Don't you dare flip that dial.
The place for holiday fun, with legendary comedian Gallagher reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.